Good morning and welcome to worship here at Joy Lutheran Church. It is great to have you with us on behalf of the Joy staff, Pastor Rod, and myself, Pastor Ryan Jerome. We thank you for joining us today and for worshiping with us this morning. Your presence is greatly appreciated in this time. We have just a few announcements before we begin our time of worship. The first is that we are collecting items for fire relief, such as personal hygiene items, new or gently used blankets, or other winter gear. We ask that you launder these items, seal them in a plastic bag, label that bag with the tag fire, and place them outside the main entrance of our church by no later than November 15th. If you do have questions about this or the process or where this is all going to or how this is going to help, please email Heather Evans with those questions. The Evangelism Committee is hosting a live drive-through nativity this year. And in order to help bring this first Christmas back to life, we're looking for anyone who'd be willing to lend us some barn animals for our nativity scene. If you have some animals that you'd be willing to lend us for an evening, or if you know of somebody who might be willing to, please contact Michaela Tracy for those details. That's all the announcements I have for you today. Let us begin our time of worship on this All Saints Sunday in the way that we always do, by the sharing of peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always. I invite you to greet one another with a sign of peace and know that those gathered with you across time and space are also extending peace to you as well. Continue now with our order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, in whose image we are made, who claims us and calls us beloved. Amen. Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another, taking a moment for silent reflection and for personal confession. Holy One, we confess that we are not awake. We are not faithful in using your gifts. We forget the least of our siblings. We do not see your beautiful image in one another. We are infected by sin that divides your beloved community. Open our hearts to see your coming. Open our eyes to see you in our neighbor. Open our hands to serve your creation. Amen. Beloved, we are God's children, and Jesus, our beloved, opens the door to us. Through Jesus, we are forgiven. By Jesus, all are welcome. In Jesus, we are called to rejoice. So let us live in the promises prepared for us from the foundations of the world. Amen. We continue with our opening hymn, For All the Saints.
servants cometh rest. Sweet is the calm of paradise, the blessed.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray together our prayer of the day. Almighty God, you have knit your people together in one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in lives of faith and commitment, and to know the inexpressible joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with this morning's lessons.
The first reading is from Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. The book of Revelation is written to seven churches in Western Asia Minor during a great time of oppression. Today's reading is a response to the question asked in chapter 6, verse 17, "Who is able to stand?" The writer gives the faithful the assurance of God's protection and a vision of victory. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple, and the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes." The responsive psalm is Psalm 34, verses 1 through 10 and 22. "I will bless the Lord at all times. The praise of God shall ever be in my mouth. I will glory in the Lord. Let the lowly hear and rejoice. Proclaim with me the greatness of the Lord. Let us exalt God's name together. I sought the Lord, who answered me and delivered me from all my terrors. Look upon the Lord and be radiant, and let not your faces be ashamed. I called in my affliction, and the Lord heard me and saved me from all my troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear the Lord and delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who take refuge in God. Fear the Lord, you saints of the Lord, for those who fear the Lord lack nothing. The lions are in want and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack nothing that is good. O Lord, you redeem the life of your servants, and those who put their trust in you will not be punished. The second reading is 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. A saint is one who has been set apart by God and for God's purposes. God, out of divine love, set us apart to be the children of God. Our holy hope is that we shall see God as God really is. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure.
This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fifth chapter. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of our Lord. We continue our worship this morning with the children's sermon.
Good morning, boys and girls. I'm so excited to see you today. I hope you've had a restful evening with an extra hour of sleep. I know I sure did. Well, I'm really glad you're here today because I'm kind of doing something fun. I'm doing a little baking this morning, which, you know, I'm not the best baker in the whole world. But I don't know, I was feeling inspired today. So I have all my baking stuff and I'm going to make some super healthy energy muffins. Sounds good. You want to help me? I have my recipe card here, and following the recipe is so important to make sure that, you know, you're getting the right ingredients and that you're mixing it the right way. And that all the things that go into making these energy bars are correct and accurate, because one little thing might kind of throw it off and make it taste all yucky, right? So let's give it a shot here. All right, so let's see here. All right, I've got call form. Let's see, a tablespoon of salt. Oh, it's good. Salt is good, right? Mm-hmm. All right, gotta have some of this. Quarter one and All right, let's dump that in there. Perfect. I do like a little spice. You know, so this really kind of got me thinking about the gospel lesson this morning, and I think it's really important how, you know, when Jesus was talking to the crowds that were gathering when he was up on the mount, he was kind of giving them a recipe card about how to be truly happy. We talk about the Beatitudes a lot, you know, and I think it's really important for us to remember that, you know, God wants us to be truly happy, and Jesus was an amazing example of that. Jesus came into the world to show us what love really means and how to live our lives, and gave us this awesome new commandment. But I think the other great promise is that sometimes, you know, it's not always meant to be easy. So true happiness and to be truly blessed doesn't always mean that, you know, that it's going to be the easiest. So I think it's really important for us to remember that and to make sure that even though it can get hard, that sometimes being, sometimes even when we're sad and even when it's really hard, or even when our energy super muffins don't taste so good, it's important for us to remember that God still loves us, and that there's so many opportunities in our day to show gratitude and to feel God's blessings pouring down upon us. Oh, can't forget the egg. I'm going to put that right in there. Just going to put that right in. It's a little bulky. Playing it around here. So I hope you can remember that this week, my friends, that, you know, maybe the next time you're baking, you can remember that Jesus gave us a recipe card too for what it means to be truly happy. And that doesn't always mean it's going to be easy or fun, or that it's going to taste good, but that recipe card is there for you in your heart forever. And it just shows us again that God loves us so, so much. And that's even better than a super healthy, strange energy muffin, right? All right. I got to get back to my baking. Have a great week, you guys. I'll see you soon.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So there's a story I heard about a man who was lost and wandering in the desert, dying of thirst. As he wandered in that hot, desolate place, he stumbled upon a ramshackle, dilapidated shack. There wasn't much to it, but at least it would be a place where he could get some shade, get out of the sun, and get some rest. He was sitting there in the shack, and all of a sudden he noticed, about 15 feet away from him, a rickety, rusty, old water pump. His eyes brightened and his heart jumped, and he thought, I wonder. He staggered over to the pump and he grabbed a hold of the handle and he began to work that pump up and down, but nothing came out. So he fell back down to the ground, discouraged. And as he fell, his hand hit something. He looked over and he saw an old glass jar that was covered with dirt and filth. He wiped the dirt off the jar and he found a label underneath. And it said, you have to prime the pump with all the water in this jar. P.S. Be sure to fill the jar again before you leave. Suddenly, the man was faced with a life or death decision. He had a sure thing right there in his hands, a jar that had some water. At least if he drank that, his thirst would be temporarily quenched and he would live a little longer. But if it were true, what was written on the label, if the water in the jar was a promise of flowing, fresh, cool water, as much as he could possibly want, what should he do? But could he really trust? How old were those instructions, right? What if it all went wrong? Was he willing to potentially waste what little water he had? Well, after much thought, he decided to go for it. He opened the jar, and sure enough, it was almost full of water. He walked over to the pump, and he poured the whole jar into the pump. He grabbed a hold of the handle, and he began to work that pump again. It was old and stubborn. Nothing came out. He kept pumping and pumping, and suddenly there appeared a little trickle of water. So he was encouraged, and he kept going some more and more until finally it grew into a larger stream of water. It was gushing. All the cool, flowing, wonderful water that he could possibly want. He filled the jar. He drank it. He filled the jar again. He drank it again. He did this a few more times. He was renewed. He was refreshed. He had strength. He had life. Then he remembered the note. So he filled the jar again one more time and sealed it. And added his own little words onto the note. It said, "Believe me, it really works. You will get more than what has been promised." You know what? Right now, I feel like we're in a desert time. Like the man who was lost and wandering, contending with the heat and the sun and the knowledge that if it doesn't get better soon, if something doesn't happen soon, he wasn't going to last very long. We're wandering in a metaphorical desert right now at this time in our history. There are so many things that seem to be working against us. The horrible, and yes, I mean the horrible state of politics in our country. I am so disappointed, and it's my issue. I'm so disappointed with the way people speak to each other. There is very little dignity. There is almost no grace. The defining qualities of people who have a sense of service to their country and caring about other people and bringing us together and unifying this nation, it just seems to be gone. And now, as a result, it's hard to trust, isn't it? It's hard to hope. We're wandering in the desert. And this damn virus, I know, I swore, I'm sorry, but it's how I feel. This virus, I know some people think it's not real or not as bad as others make it out to be. But many of us have had family members and friends deeply affected by the symptoms and the consequences of this disease. And sure, we have guidelines and warnings and rules and regulations that we're trying our very best to follow. But then on almost a daily basis, I get a call or a comment about the church. I want you all to know we are working hard to provide something good here. We have worship both in person and online. We had staff reviews this past week, and Linda, our director of worship and music, pointed out to me that every staff member and, of course, an army of volunteers are working together to provide a meaningful worship experience for our community. Everyone contributes to the worship experience. It's important to us. We want to do this well, and we want to do this safely.
You know, in addition, here at the church, we have confirmation and Sunday school and senior high youth group. We have adult Bible studies and community outreach opportunities like fire relief and Parker Task Force. And now there are things to be done for Joshua Station. We are trying to figure this all out. We haven't stopped working, not for 1 minute. We are still the church. We are still the church. We are still proclaiming Christ in our words and in our deeds. And yet, that doesn't seem to satisfy the thirst that some have for a different world. And quite honestly, it doesn't always quench my thirst. I miss people. I miss the way things were. I miss all kinds of things. It's hard to be patient. It's hard to prioritize the well-being of other people over and above our own desires. It's hard to remember in the middle of this that this is a season and a time. We are wandering in the desert. And what else? Fires and hurricanes and natural disasters, lack of water filling the streams and coming down from the mountains. What else? Civil unrest, calls for change on the one hand and people who don't want change on the other hand, and conflict and hatred and anger and violence. It's hard for us to understand what motivates people anymore. People who do bad things. People who stand in self-righteous indignation towards people who do bad things in their judgment. Sometimes it's hard to believe that anyone is good anymore. I've even met some people who think it's hard to believe that God is good. I'm telling you, we are wandering in the desert. And then people of faith. And then we remember that we have been given a ray of hope. And it's more than just a ray. It's a searchlight of hope. It's a magnificent, overwhelming beam of light and love and power that has broken into this world. It's a promise that blinds our eyes and fills our hearts and frees our souls. God sent Jesus into this world. Let me say it again. God sent Jesus into this tired old world to show us the way, to teach us the truth, to give us his life, but most importantly, to give us hope in the midst of our hopelessness. See, there's the problem. We are currently in the desert. And I'm afraid that people are starting to give up hope. But don't kid yourselves. We are not unique. This is nothing new. The people of God have always, at different times, in different places, been wandering through the desert. Because this world, it's not our home. This is not our goal. This is not the ultimate promise that we have been given by God. It's not finished yet. We are currently living in the in-between times, the now and the not yet. We have the beginning of the promise of God, and one day we will have the fulfillment of the promise of God. And in addition, in this world, the people around us are not perfect. Just like us, we are not perfect. We call this day All Saints Day. But the saints, the people that we remember and pay our respects to, we're not saints. We're not calling them saints today because they are good or because they are holy in and of themselves. They are saints because of the grace of God and the goodness of our God, which has been given to them. I am not a saint. Not fully. Not yet. I'm not done. Right now in this moment, I am simultaneously a saint, loved and forgiven by God, and a sinner who keeps going his own way. And so are you. And that means that we still need the grace of God to make us right. It means that on a daily basis, we are going to fall short of the glory of God. It means that when we look at the other people around us and are angry with them or frustrated with them or hate them or want to crush them because they have done something wrong, in that moment we are forgetting who we are and forgetting who they are. They aren't saints. Not yet. Not fully. They are also sinners in need of God's redeeming just like us. Anyway, I digress. Let's get back to the story. Y'all remember that jar of water that the man was supposed to use to prime the pump? Well, pretend for a moment that that jar of water is the good news that we've been given. Pretend it's our hope that Jesus has brought into the world. Pretend it's just the start, something to prime the pump. Now, some people are going to take that jar and they're going to open it up and they're going to drink deeply. They're going to drink down the whole jar in this moment, in the presence, and they're going to believe that that's the solution. They believe that if they can quench their thirst and their desire in the here and now, that that's going to be enough. So they hear the good news of Jesus Christ and they say, you know what? This applies here and now completely. So as followers of Christ, life should be good. It should be easy and breezy and beautiful. So when it's not, when that's not the way it is for us, they look at us and say, you don't believe enough. You aren't faithful enough. You aren't good enough to receive God's mercy and God's grace. They point to the current state of our lives and the current state of this world, and they say, look, here's the evidence. If you are blessed with an abundance of worldly blessings, then that just goes to show you that God loves you. But if you're not blessed by the standards of this world, then in fact you are not doing enough. You are not good enough. You are not blessed. They say Jesus brought the gospel for the good people. They say that if you believe in Jesus, then everything is going to be okay all the time. They say you will have all the good that you ever wanted right here, right now. But I'm telling you, that is not grace. That is not good news. That is not anything different than living under the burden of the law. But Jesus, he was different. He proclaimed in the Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 5 that the following people were in fact contrary to their experience, contrary to their appearance. The following people are in fact blessed by God. The poor in spirit. Those who mourn. The meek. The merciful. The pure in heart. The peacemakers. Those who are persecuted for speaking the truth about the person and the mission of Jesus Christ. So in summary, in my own words, those who are having a difficult time, those who find themselves right smack dab in the middle of pain and suffering, those who find themselves wandering in the desert, thirsting and hungering for new life and new hope and new love. See, that's us. We are in the desert. We are poor in spirit. Sometimes we have a hard time believing. We are mourning. We are meek. We try to be merciful, but the world sees mercy as weakness. We try to be pure, while the whole world around us celebrates and glorifies corruption and perversion of God's love in Christ. We try to make peace, but the whole world doesn't want peace. So don't tell me that people want peace. Everyone would rather be right, or everyone would rather get their own way at the expense of peace. Now listen, Jesus didn't say that this was going to be easy. But he did say, you are blessed. He said, you are blessed while you walk through the desert. You are blessed in the burden of your pain. You are blessed. God has not forgotten you. God has not abandoned you. You are blessed, O child of God. So take your metaphorical jar of water, that portion of hope that you've been given by God, and don't drink it now. Instead, pour it into the pump and believe that the water you will be given, the water that God is going to provide, is a living water that will become in us a spring of water that wells all the way up to eternal life. What I'm saying is, please don't forget, this world is not the complete fulfillment of the promise of Jesus Christ. We have been blessed beyond what we can see. We have been blessed in ways that this world will never understand. We have been blessed even, maybe especially, when we're in the middle of the desert, when we're so thirsty, when we finally despair of ourselves and really trust that God loves us. And we don't have to do this all by ourselves anymore. So today, in hope, thanks be to God now for this present life, and not yet for the promises that are yet to come. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's sing together our hymn of the day.
Blessed are you.
Brothers and sisters, let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So with all the people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, for the world, and for all those who are in need. Gracious God, bless your church on earth that we may be your people. On the Mount, our Lord and Savior Jesus taught us a new vision for the life of the world, one where we are blessed not for our success or strength or influence, but through humility and mercy and putting our hope and trust in your goodness. Transform our hearts and minds that we may rejoice in the coming of your kingdom in our world and in our lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for wise and discerning minds this week. May we seek to follow you and live according to your will as we elect the next leaders of our country, and that no matter the results, we put our hope not in whether the candidates we vote for win or lose, but in you and your gracious promise of a renewed world through Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are in need this day, including those affected by wildfires and COVID-19. We lift to you our cares and concerns, especially for Jack Anderson, the Lennart family, and Jean Stafford, as well as those whom we name to you now in the silence of our hearts. Surround them in your loving care and bring them to wholeness of life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. On this day, we remember all the saints who have come before us, and we rejoice in their witness that we may be your people. For the saints of old, the saints today, and the saints yet to come, we give you thanks, Almighty God, that the promise of your good news through Jesus Christ continues to spread throughout the earth. Today, we especially remember the saints whom we have entrusted into your care in this past year. Flora Aaron, Margie Brown, Jerry Koss, Claudia Davis, Anne Dunbar, Cedric Dunbar Jr., Leon Dunbar, Suzanne Dunbar, Jay Evenson, Joe Ferguson, and Tim Francisco.
James Galloway, Mike Gellner, Vernette Gilbert, Harold Gleason, Kurt Hank, Kirby Johnson, Walt Klein, John Lazicki, Sophia Lazicki, Stephanie Lederhaus, Hazel Luffingwell, Clancy Lehrman.
Irene Martin, Polly McBride, Margaret M. Meyer, William J. Myers, Dustin Moni, John Muller, Joyce Newland, Evelyn Oders, Dave Osvog, Mary Rhodes, Sullivan Jean Rorscheib, Ed Rother.
Dorothy Rounds, K.O. Rounds, Helen C., Joe Simmerts, Trina Simmons, Kelly Sitzman, Tony Serfling, Jackie Smith, Eunice E. Splon, Harley F. Taylor, Ted Chuckles, Adam Tutko.
Eleanor Tutko, Frank Tutko, Mary Tutko, Stanley Tutko, Vernonia Tutko, Ralph Ulrich, Rick Weber, Charles Wido, Mary Jane Wilkinson, Jerry Wilson, Larry Wills.
Into your hands, Almighty God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, in the hope that you have given us, in the salvation we've been promised, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is life, hope, and salvation. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we continue with the offering today. Reflect on the life and love that we have.
Eat
Turn now to the words of institution, remembering that in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord and Savior Jesus took bread. He gave thanks and he broke it and gave it for his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. As you are gathered at home or joining us online, we invite you to take out your communion elements and receive this, for this is the body of Christ given for you. And this is the blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen us and keep us in God's grace now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift. In faith toward you, and in love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our sending song.
Crystal tide forever.
Beloved of Christ, we go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.